Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Ms. Martine Hassan. She is the CEO of Redcon Projects, and her colleague, Ms. Pamela Yerushalmi, who is the commercial manager of Redcon Projects, a company based in Johannesburg, South Africa. First and foremost, dear ladies, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
And as is customary with my interviews, I always ask the interviewees to elaborate a little bit about their background and how they ended up in this racket. So, Martine, how come you are where you are, and you are not an airline stewardess or an accountant, or why are you in Redcon?
Firstly, I suck at numbers, funny enough. So accountancy was not an option for me. That being said, you know, I started this career out of necessity. You know, one day I was working in the motor trade, and the next day I definitely had a passion for anything with wheels and an engine. Quite frankly, I started out in a workshop working with vehicles, and my love for motors grew from there. And you know, one day I cashed out my pension from my corporate job and, you know, moved on to buy trucks, and it sort of stemmed from there. You know, I've been doing this. This is the 12th going on 13th year, and Redcon Projects was born out of necessity for, you know, the logistics industry, putting our best foot forward, so to speak, and just a general love for logistics. I know it sounds insane because most people may beg to differ, and a lot of people, you know, think that it is a very strenuous industry, which it truly is. But I find passion in movement. I find passion in dealing with individuals from across the borders, and, you know, just the togetherness of bringing the world together, because truthfully, that's what we do. You know, we move everything from one part of the world to the next.
Very well said, and I certainly can echo that statement. Good to have a little bit about your background, and you look passionate about your job there, so that's good. Then I'd also like to ask you, Pamela, how come you are ending up in this racket and you are not a stewardess on South African Airways?
South African Airways, definitely not. Maybe Emirates.
Yeah, maybe.
Funny that you asked that question. After I finished school, before I started studying, I applied to South African Airways to become a stewardess. And my father said, absolutely no. Okay. We won't go into all of those reasons, but one of them was, you should use your intellectual ability in a different way. So that's the joke of it. At that stage of my life, I wanted to see the world. And fortunately, by getting into shipping in my mid-20s, I have seen a fair amount of the world. In fact, Bo met you at a few break bulk conferences in Europe, and certainly traveled extensively for companies that I've worked for. I started off in shipping with SAF Marine, the South African national carrier. So instead of the South African national air carrier, SAA, I went to SAF Marine, and had very fortunately the most wonderful training in the containerization side of the business. Went on to work for a few of the very large lines, even today's largest line, MSC. I did a stint there, and then I started the agency for CMA CGM in South Africa in conjunction with Grindrod, and spent a good few years there, launching CMA CGM as far as the South African market was concerned. It was quite small then. It's grown into something very substantial. And after leaving CMA CGM, was fortunate enough to move into the break bulk arena and eventually into the bulk arena. So a multi-disciplined, multi-purposed shipping person is the person that I am. Martin has the great interest in the vehicles, mm-hmm. and I think I have the great love for the ships, mm-hmm. and for shipping itself. So here I am, 34 years down the line, Bo, in this industry.
Well, I must say, I cannot see any snow on the roof, but you are still very active there. So, yeah, you look happy in what you do. I can say that for you for sure, and the both of you.
Perfectly happy. Couldn't imagine myself anywhere else.
And it seems to me that it's a marriage made in heaven. I mean, you have trucking and you have shipping knowledge, and all in the same at the same table. Going back to elaborate a little bit on Redcon projects, where does the name come from? And who owns it, and what can you tell me about what you are very good at?
So my Redcon Projects is a family name.
Okay.
My husband, Comlin Reddy, the name was supposed to be a legacy, hence Redcon. Correct. And Projects was because of our diversification. You know, mm-hmm. Redcon Projects houses or is an umbrella entity that mm-hmm. has several subdivisions under it, namely the sea freight as well as the logistics, but mm-hmm. as well as electrical construction. Mm-hmm. And we have recently gone into Redcon Resources, which is a trading arm of commodities for the market in which our logistics sort of filters into. Mm-hmm. So it is quite extensive. And quite recently, a small announcement is that we have partnered with a UK-based entity called Evdo Technologies UK, mm-hmm. To form an African subsidiary called Evdo Africa, mm-hmm. Proprietary Limited, and of which Redcon Projects holds 51% shares of, mm-hmm. and will be the logistics partner for the entity. Mm-hmm. And this entity, Evdo Africa, specializes in inventory financing. Mm-hmm. So it's a full swing model whereby one feeds directly into the other. Mm-hmm. So we've got the financing, which could potentially facilitate the trade and resources department, which would ultimately filter into the logistics, whether it be road freight or sea freight. And you know, the construction or electrical construction part of it is a standalone entity, but it does form part of our daily function and operation. Mm-hmm. So I would like to think that we wear many caps. I definitely do wear many caps, as does Pam. She fills in everywhere she's needed. She's literally a lifesaver.
May I ask about, by extension, this sounds very interesting. I mean, why not keep it all in-house? I mean, if you do trading, financing, and then shipping whatever you're trading and financing, I mean, what's not to like? So that sounds like a very smart move. One question I have, what's your headcount? And I understand you're based in Johannesburg, that's your HQ, but you also have offices elsewhere, abroad. What can you tell me about your organization structure, so to speak?
So we have 10 employees in mm-hmm. our Johannesburg office. Our Botswana office is slightly larger purely because of the driver complement in our logistics wing, and we have a very entry-level warehouse that we use to facilitate our Botswana-based clients. So our headcount in Botswana is about 25 persons. Mm-hmm. So as a whole, across the two countries, we're probably sitting at just under 40 staff members. Mm-hmm. And we intend on growing. That's the idea. And as Redcon Resources grows, you know, and we have more field operatives with greenfield investigations, as Evdo Africa grows and stems out, I would rate that probably in the next 6 to 12 months, we mm-hmm. could have almost a doubling up effect in terms of our complement and capacity, mm-hmm. As far as staff members and team members are concerned. Okay.
So if I may say, if we should let our viewers know who you are, Redcon Projects, you are forwarders, you are project forwarders, you are truckers, you are traders, You can do cross-border traffic into Botswana, mainly, or of course also other places. But
all over sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes, because so you have the experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. So in terms of the road freight department, we road freight wherever there's roads. We go as far up into Tanzania and Kenya, so that's East Africa. We go up into the DRC, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana naturally, as well as Mozambique, Namibia, Angola. So let's call it the SADC region as a whole. As far as sea freight is concerned, wherever we're allowed to send a ship is where we go.
Yeah, yeah, and you certainly have the right experienced hand next to you there. I mean, in South Africa now, what we hear from the market is, of course, that the economy is not doing too well, Corona, all this. Can you feel that things are picking up? I mean, can you see more shipments in and out and more action going on at the moment?
You know, Bo, we've certainly experienced the very hard end of the stick of COVID, particularly for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think in the last couple of months, we are starting to feel that things are changing slowly.
Okay.
The impact has been felt through congestion, as it has been felt throughout the world. An enormous impact has been felt through the rate structures of the carriers, which is partly due to COVID and the other part due to them recuperating the last 10 years of some losses as far as ocean freight is concerned. But South Africa is a net importer. However, our economy does rely heavily on the export of our natural products, being our minerals and our metals.
Right.
So a shortage of multi-purpose vessels calling South Africa, a shortage of large bulk carriers calling South Africa, and these very high rates with container shortages as far as containerized cargo is concerned. It's turning, but it's not turning fast. We are seeing that there is more of an availability as far as space is concerned. The rates are, in a way, from some carriers stabilizing. Other carriers are still taking advantage of a world situation or a global situation. I don't believe that that's going to continue because everybody is going to be brought into line. Whatever you read and whatever one wants to believe, I think the expectation from the beginning of the new year is we're going to see rates reducing. However, from a containerized point of view, we're going to see blank sailings. In South Africa as a whole, the economy is poor. The power generation is extremely poor, which is a very big contribution to production, whether it's mining or finished goods or no matter what the situation is. The lack of power, the cost of power contributes also to a very, very high cost of living. We have various water problems in South Africa. So the general infrastructure in South Africa is really not positive towards economic growth and improvement. But as I said, South Africa relies heavily on pulling the resources out of the ground, putting them on a truck or a train or a ship or a plane, being the gold, and it has to keep moving.
Yeah, Nana, but one thing I can say, first of all, I want to say, in short of all the gloom that you correctly mentioned, number one, you have one of the most beautiful countries I've ever seen traveling around, and you have nice people, a lot of nice people there, and always seem, whoever I interview from South Africa, you're always in a very good mood, so... I don't know.
We
have everything here in the north, and we're always running around sour. I think we should move down to your place.
Well, you're invited. But you know what contributes to the mood of people? It's the sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
It truly does. And I mean, today we're not even the middle of September. Our temperature is said to reach 29 or 30 degrees Celsius today. The sun is shining bright. And yes. I think that's possibly the difference between the north and the south.
Yeah,
is no, that we always have sunshine and we have great light.
Yeah, no, no, you do have something good. I can tell you that I was supposed to have been on a Max vessel as passenger from Hamburg to Cape Town in August, but I promised my dragon, also known as wife, to delay the trip. So I will be taking, because I'll turn 60 on 16th of February, so I'll be on a Max cargo vessel as passenger. I will be arriving in Cape Town middle of March. So I'll keep you posted. So,
over 45. Gosh, yeah. I can't believe that you're turning 60. It's crazy. Wow. How do men manage this as opposed to women? I don't think it's fair.
Well, you know, they have pills for everything. But anyway, we better not go back from the shipping talk here. Otherwise, our viewers may be scared. One of the other things I would like to ask you about, Botswana is a landlocked country, right?
That's correct.
So what would you say, and of many other countries north of South Africa are landlocked, why is South Africa the best place to do the transshipment from? I mean, Durban or other South African ports. I take it that Namibia wants to be the transshipment hub or Mozambique or others. What would you say is the advantage by anyone viewing this interview contacting you for a quote, say, from Durban to Botswana or wherever would be the best entry? Why South Africa and not elsewhere?
Look, I think all the corridors are opening or have been in the process of opening for many years. The largest port in terms of Southern Africa still remains Durban. Okay. With the various different terminals. There is also still, as much as we say, a breakdown in the infrastructure. There certainly still is an infrastructure to be able to bring cargo via the South African ports. Mm. I would say that as far as Redcon Project is concerned, we don't only stick to the South African ports.
Okay.
We would be recommending to our customers, be it bulk, break bulk, mm-hmm. or containerized cargo, what we believe to be the most proficient port for the particular shipment. There's a great deal going via Maputo, and there are quite a lot of bulk vessels that are coming into Maputo. Mm-hmm. The break bulk vessels are still coming, the multi-purpose vessels are still coming into the Southern African ports. They also are discharging. And no one ever discounts Walvis Bay in Namibia. So it's really what is the best for the cargo,
right?
And where are we going to have the best possibility of being able to actually ship the cargo in terms of a choice of vessels?
Yeah. And you can control it well, even sitting in Johannesburg. You can do it with a proper monitoring and control via Walvis Bay, even
yourself. Well, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, as far as containerization is concerned, that's scheduled routing. Yeah. So you're in the hands of the shipping line once you've passed on the booking and packed the container. Mm-hmm. As far as bulk or break bulk is concerned, you'll always appoint an agent. So there'll be a ship's agent that will be appointed probably by the vessel or by the charterer. You can always have a protective agent. But as far as an agency network is concerned, we also work in South Africa with a few very well appointed and extremely experienced agents. Yeah. And those agents will always have feet on the ground at the various ports.
It's clear. But of course, with your background from SAF Marine and whatnot, CMA and MSC, you certainly have a big range of contacts, and you have it in trucking there, Martin. So I'm quite confident on that. One question I have, one of the final questions I have, many of the shipping lines, or not many, some of the big ones flush with cash because they've now been arrogant for the last couple of years. And I was just speaking about air freight. We need a freighter to get their nose down from the sky. But
they're buying all the freighters, Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
They're buying them. They've decided that ships are not enough. They're now buying aircrafts.
Oh, and building hospitals. Yes, I saw that.
Yes, they're building hospitals too.
But my question is, do you see that some of the ship owners are going ashore and wanting to do door-to-door, stepping on your toes in South Africa?
I think we can both answer it. Maybe, Martine, you want to take it first?
No, go for it first, please.
Yeah, I think, Bo, it is something that we unfortunately see. Yeah. We understand diversification, and we certainly all strive for growth.
Yeah.
But I do see the major carriers with their huge war chests coming in to buy up anything and everything
that moves
from anything, and some things that don't even move, like hospitals. But I mean, that also can that can stand to question. I think it's partly unfortunate for smaller, let's say, forwarding and clearing agents that are really just in the business of offering that one service. Yeah. So for smaller companies that have not diversified the way, fortunately, Redcom Projects has diversified, these companies could find themselves swallowed and completely out of business in the near future. Whereas on the opposite side of the scale, there are still shippers that want to deal with their service providers on That's a true. Personal level. And exactly. they don't want to be a number to an extremely large company where every single thing will be handled under one umbrella. Because how well do they know that it's competitive if that is the situation? I don't want to name names here, but do you want to go to a company that's going to do your customs broking and is only going to book with the in-house line or with their in-house airline, and it's only going to be handled by their in-house agent on the other side? Where is there an allowance for competitive rates?
No, it's one of the things I addressed in one of my editorials not long ago, because once you get caught in that system, what are you going to do if there's a claim? I mean, I think the pendulum will swing back. And I think, first of all, we have to be as close to the customers as ever possible. And then I think the role of the traditional forwarder is to have a bridge and have several solutions. Shipping with that one only fits all solution. Just wait until you get a claim. And I saw in Lodestar magazine, there was some US shipper had a $300 million claim with one of the big ones. I don't mention names, but they have a certain color. And of course, they had made a long-term contract and they didn't fulfill it. And now it's a huge court case. And how can you go to court with these big ones? They have lots of money to pay the best lawyers. It's short-sighted, but we must tell our customers that they give everything to that one place at their own peril. I should say that would be.
Well, look, we at Redcom Projects, you know, we specialize in bespoke tailor-made service.
Yeah.
You know, despite my fancy title, which is all it is a title, you know, one-on-one and FaceTime and that kind of interaction is extremely important. You know, I have absolutely no qualms with picking up the phone and dealing with a driver directly. I have no qualms with picking up the phone and dealing with a client directly and making that one-on-one time. You know, bespoke and tailor-made, you know, speak for themselves. There's no difference between me and Pam or the office administrator or any, as long as we get the job done and our client is happy. These are things of paramount importance to Redcom Projects, and the customers and clients that we do retain will quite easily, you know, testify to the fact that we go above and beyond the call of service every time.
That's the lifeblood, and I am confident too. I'm also educated as a forwarder originally. I just became a journalist by chance, but the right. That's why we like this business, and it cannot be replaced. So I think we all three in that way are in the same boat. But listen, fantastic to talk to the both of you and a great team. I'll make sure that you get prominently displayed in our Project Cargo Weekly.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Bo. Thank you. That'll be wonderful.
But before I end up, I have to kind of finish formally the interview here as I normally do. So I want to say first and foremost, Martine, thank you very much to you for joining.
Thank you very much, Bo, for the opportunity. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. And Pamela, very much thanks to you as well for facilitating this.
Thank you, Bo. Good to see you again.
Likewise. And to all our listeners, viewers, and whoever is out there from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today has been Redcon Projects Pty Limited, based in Johannesburg, South Africa, but with abilities spanning the whole southern part of the continent. And we have been speaking to the CEO, Ms. Martine Hassan, and also the commercial manager, Ms. Pamela Yeroshelmi. So we thank them. Stay tuned for more interviews in the near future in Project Cargo Weekly. Thank you.